Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We recently talked about a new poll on evangelical attitudes on same-sex marriage. A generation gap appeared and has appeared in the last several years between younger evangelicals and, well, their parents' generation on this subject. And it seems to be a widening gap in terms of the approval or at least the toleration of same-sex marriage that's growing and growing and growing among younger evangelicals. Nobody really knows why that is for sure, although there are some educated guesses out there. But the real question in my mind is, how does the church respond to this? How does the church respond when we know full well that our young people, even Lutheran churches like my own, we wouldn't count ourselves as evangelicals, probably reflected in exactly those same attitudes. How does the church respond to this when we know that the next generation of churchgoers have drunk deeply from the wells of culture and from the media and just don't see the big deal about same-sex marriage? Joining us to talk about this and get a pastoral perspective, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also a member of God's Gift to Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Scare, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, great to be with you, Todd.
Somebody looks at these new poll numbers and they say, there you go, Dr. Scare, this is the inevitable staring us in the face. The demographics, they're against us. Christians might as well give up and surrender on the issue of same-sex marriage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I kind of feel that that's true a little bit in the way that I've been out there, you know, fighting this thing, and I've been I write my columns and I send notes into the newspaper, and even within the church, I try to make my points. But I do think that this thing is slipping away from us. Of course, God's word will always remain, and there will always be the faithful. But I do think that the polls reflect something which I think a lot of us have been seeing for a long time. I remember in the 2000 election that President Bush won at the time, and it was said that he won. I guess it was a razor-thin margin, but he won precisely because people were worried about, I guess at the time, the whole LGBT advancement. And so people were saying at the time, well, look, there's still a solid kind of core there that was frightened by what they saw and wanted to preserve the family and wanted to preserve marriage. And that was 17 years ago. And I remember, though, in that faculty meeting, we were talking about it, and I said, hold it, guys. You realize in the culture we've already lost. And we've seen this train coming down the track for a long time, and it's been prepared by the media, by TV shows. It's so much within our popular culture. It's the water that we drink. It's the air that we breathe. The LGBT movement is really, it's been all-consuming, and it's subtly or not so subtly won over the hearts and minds, not only of our citizens, but I think also of the people in the pews. Certainly our younger people, but I think our older people, too, are soft on this. And so we've got some troubles there. There's no doubt about it.
Well, let's talk about that older people, too, because that was my very thought when I saw the polling data on the gap between older and younger evangelicals on same-sex marriage. And my thought was that opposition to same-sex marriage that still exists among older evangelicals, I would be willing to bet, is a soft opposition. In other words, a little pressure and it gives way. Or, yeah. You know, my niece, she's going to have her same-sex marriage. I guess, you know, it's not that big of a deal kind of a thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this, and the older folks, well, you know, when you look at this, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, when's the last time I really, now we're starting to get, you know, coming to the game, better late than never, But as I was growing up, how often did I hear marriage preached about in any substantial way? Not often, and that's probably due to the divorce culture that made us probably quiet about teaching what marriage is and why it matters. And we had the sexual promiscuity and all the kind of things of the sexual revolution. And I think the other thing is, you know, when it comes to homosexuality, and that's still not the gay marriage issue exactly, but if anything, I think we didn't want to think about it. So I remember sermons where maybe it was listed kind of in a among other sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but even then, it wasn't talked about. Like, why is this a problem? And now I think, so we have been completely, we have not, not only has the assault been great, but we never put on the armor of Christ when it came to this matter that, you know, we discussed why does it matter. And so the question has never been framed. And as I look at it now, I still see many of, you know, many clergy who are still faithful have still not yet learned to articulate or do not want to articulate the truths of this. I think in some ways they think if they just quote unquote preach the gospel, whatever they might mean by that, then they will be safe from the oncoming onslaught. And I think that's a fool's game. But also I think it's theologically they're not really thinking through why these things matter.
Explain that a little bit more, because we hear that a lot, even from when I know you do. From within our own circles, from Lutheran circles, that look, number one, I'm just called to preach the gospel. And number two, the best response here is not to respond directly to anything happening in the culture, because that's not my business and that verges on politics. I'm just going to stay here and preach the gospel, administer the sacraments. And my people won't believe, they won't be among those who fall prey to the culture's influence on these kind of issues.
Yeah, I mean, I try to put it first into the picture of the bride and the bridegroom. And the first thing that we as Christians are called to do is to be faithful to the groom who is Christ. Now, as pastors, we need to be able to articulate this, and I think we need to get our head in the game and develop our voices. And I still think that we're not yet there. As people, when I tell the people this, I say to them, you know, you hear so much from our culture about gay marriage and about homosexuality, and I say, just please give pause here for a little bit. First, consider the scriptures, and I think it is okay to tell our people, you may not understand this now, and give me time to teach you. Now, it's my duty to teach you, but the first thing we have to do, I think, is to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. And in the Gospels, it says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of him before my Father in heaven. So, like, when you think about a relationship between a husband and wife, it's one thing to say, you know, to have a personal problem, saying, I don't know why God says this in his word. But it's a much different thing if you are ashamed publicly of, let's say, your husband or your wife before other people, and that kills the relationship. And when we think about our Lord, we have to take seriously what our Lord has taught us about marriage. And I think it's okay for our people at this point to say, I don't know why Scripture talks this way about marriage, but it does. And I know that Christ loves me, and I know that he's the bridegroom, and he gave himself for me. Therefore, I'm going to trust him and his word. But now comes the process of learning, and that's where we as teachers then need to step in and begin to talk about marriage. And the other thing is this is a good wake-up call for us, because I think for far too often or long in our Lutheran circles even sometimes, we divorce the gospel from creation. And this is the old Gnostic problem of trying to say Jesus in the New Testament is one thing and the creation is another. But they're so intertwined. It's the same God who created us male and female is the same God who came to us in Christ as the bridegroom, and it's the same God who, when Christ comes again, it's the picture of the heavenly reality of Christ is the groom for his church in everlasting bliss, and our Lord's Supper is the conjugal, it's the wedding feast which we celebrate for all eternity. These things are tied up together, and the gospel that we preach is, as Matthew says, it's the new Genesis. the gospel that we preach is the same gospel that John talked about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the God of creation is the God of redemption in Christ Jesus. So these things matter, and they matter for our faith, but also I think they matter in our care for our neighbor, and I think we need to be able to articulate that, that it's not simply what I believe because it's a religious thing, but it actually has impact on those around us, including our own children, but society. And I think we're called to speak this truth because of God's design for us and how marriage works and why it's there in the first place.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're responding to a new poll on evangelical attitudes about same-sex marriage. He's associate professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a member of God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, so if it needs to be talked about, if we got where we are today because we didn't talk about it, where and how should we do it? Stay tuned.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're responding to a new poll on evangelical attitudes about same-sex marriage. So you kind of explained very well, I think, how we got to where we are today, especially our quietism from both the pulpit and the church's teaching on issues of marriage, and then secondarily, sexuality. We simply did not equip people to respond to the deluge that was coming in the culture. How do we remedy that in a real, tangible way in the life of the church, Dr. Scare?
I do think one of the things that we're going to have to do is we have to recognize that it's a religious issue precisely because it proclaims who God is as our Creator. As long as it's simply like one doctrine of belief that we have as religious people, if we don't understand that that it is a witness to who our God is, then I think we won't have much impact upon the world or upon our people even. Because, for instance, people have a difficulty, now going back to the earlier issue of homosexuality, they have a difficulty talking about it because they say, well, it's against God's law in the scripture, but that's just one of the, it's just like a Levitical law, like don't eat pork. well, it's had some great consequences and harsh consequences for our society. And, you know, when you look at the kind of the loneliness and depression that I see among all young people and young boys today and young men, well, this is a consequence of it, because friendship has not been allowed to bloom, because guys kind of have to keep themselves at arm's length from one another. So we can talk about the human issues. And I think the human issues, which we need to talk about when it comes to marriage, is, you know, we look at this society. Do you think that our society, are there these Albert Einsteins when it comes to the social structure? Look at the neighborhoods where the kids are hurting. Look in the neighborhoods that are dangerous, where you don't want to go out at night. And what's the problem? The problem is inevitably, where are the dads? Are the dads there? And are the dads living at home? Are they protecting their wives? Are they working hard? Or are they restless and have no place to go? Are the dads there protecting their sons and daughters? And the answer is more and more no. Well, this is where marriage, we have to teach people. And see, we've framed the question. We've allowed the other side to frame the question. They say, who has the right to be married? Well, everybody has the same right to be married, but they never have asked the question, what is marriage? And once you get to that question, then you get to the human side of it. And the human side that we need to teach is, you know, I say this is the kind of thing, it's very simple to say, but we need to teach our people to say it. Every child has a mother and a father. The mother is going to be there at the birth. Naturally so. The child, if he's not aborted, will be in the mother's womb and maybe even nurse at the breast. So the mother is going to be there. Marriage is there to put the father into the family, to make him, to incentivize, to make his best possible chance for that father to be a lifelong father, that a kid might know his mother and father. And when you look at all these, you know, what we're going to see is a further disintegration. And we've already seen, you know, kids, it breaks my heart when I see kids in these kind of broken families being passed around from weekend to weekend, not knowing, you know, where they're going to stay on any given weekend. Well, with gay marriage now, it only becomes worse. The children become commodified. They can be bought and sold. You can make a child, and then, you know, the two of us will then take care of it, or the three of us might take care of it. But really, then children simply become property. And I think these are the kind of human questions. It's not as if God created these things arbitrarily or he's some sort of meanie. It's just actually the way that we are created to be. And I think natural law, no matter what, will always be on our side in this. And I think we need to come back to the reality, to break through that barrier and to talk about, you know, what it is that women bring to the table in their nurturing and their love, and what is it that men bring to the table as far as their protection and strength. And this is the way we can say, this is the way we are by nature, and then we can make the Christian witness, this is the way we are, the way God has created us. So when we proclaim this gospel, we are proclaiming the God who has made us fearfully and wonderfully made us this way. So this is a good message. It's the message of Scriptures, but it's also the message of reality.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, member of God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Peter, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Christianity and Culture will be thoroughly addressed at the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. Mark and Molly Hemingway will be speaking on Christians engaging the news media and on religious liberty. Jennifer Roback Morris will be talking about the sexual revolution. Rod Dreher will be making the case for the Benedict option. All of that Friday, November the 10th and Saturday, November the 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. In hour two of Issues, Etc., Joy Pullman from The Federalist joins us. We'll talk about the Supreme Court's mixed message on religious liberty and education. And then Dr. Uwe Simonetta will join us to talk about Angela Merkel's decision to allow a vote on homosexual marriage in Germany. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.